Welcome to our 2015 Sunday School and Extended Christmas Program. It's a joy to be here. I am not Ned. If you look in your program, Ned's voice has completely left, so I'm filling in, and I'll do my best. But let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being able to gather this morning and to be able to watch and listen and to pray and sing songs and hymns to you about what you've done for us. Lord, as we commit this morning to you, we pray that you would just fill our hearts with joy and we would have a good time as we see the children doing different things and just telling the story of the incarnation, telling the story of God becoming man, telling the story of how Jesus Christ left heaven to become one of us that he might be able to take away our sins so that we could have a right relationship with you, Lord. So we look forward to this gospel in song and gospel in narrative as we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I now want to introduce Elijah Varghese. He will be playing the piano for us and be the song. See if you recognize it. It's Jingle Bells.
Confidence to sing like that or to play the piano. It's just so much fun to see that and see them growing up. But did you ever have the experience as a parent where you go over and over and over your child's part and you know they know it, they say it when they're playing with their dolls or their cars or they say it over and over again, and then they get up and they come up here and they get all distracted by all the people and the microphones and the sheep. And that's their opportunity, and they don't say anything. That happens all the time. And then when you're on your way home in the car, they're saying their part over and over, and you think, oh, why didn't they say it up there? Well, one of our parents was able to capture her son on video, and she texted me the video this week, and I thought a couple things. I thought, wow, we do not challenge our kids enough. I don't challenge kids enough. I don't challenge myself enough. When I saw this little boy, who is just over 2.5, saying all of Psalm 23, I said, can we put this in the program? And so you are going to have a treat now. And thank you to Saj and Neil and Anu for working this all out. And you will now see Asher at not quite 3 years old saying Psalm 23.
Psalm
23, the wonderful.
The Lord is
my shepherd, he will not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And
he restores
my soul. And he leads me by the path of righteousness for my namesake. And though I walk through the very shadow of death, I say, no, you let me. You water in the steps that come from me.
Good. Thou prepare
a table for my presence and my enemies.
You.
Nor my head with oil.
And my cup.
Runs over.
Surely.
Goodness and mercy, you follow me all the days of my life. I dwell in the house for the Lord forever.
Good.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them.
Did you ever wonder why the angels would appear to shepherds on the night Jesus was born? Shepherds were among the lowest people on the social ladder. They lived in tents and they moved from place to place. They spent their days and nights with animals, which quite frankly didn't smell good. And they were considered unreliable and unintelligent, even in first century Israel. But shepherds have held a place of honor throughout the Bible. For some reason, God often chose shepherds to be his leader. The Gospel of Matthew starts with Abraham, as it lists the human ancestry of Jesus Christ. God called Abraham out of a wealthy city and led him to the place where God promised to make him into a great nation, and the nation of Israel. In that land, Abraham, as well as his son and grandsons, kept flocks and herds and lived in tents.
King David, the beloved king of Israel, began his life as a shepherd too. The Bible tells us he chose David as his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people. God promised David his throne would be established forever, meaning that the Messiah, the eternal king, would come through his family line. David, too, is listed in the genealogy of Jesus. King David also wrote Psalm 23, which likens the care of a good shepherd to the way that God tenderly watches over us and takes care of all our needs. The Sunday school children have been learning Psalm 23, so if they could come up now, we'll hear them say it.
Shall I what? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
King David calls the Lord his shepherd. Jesus says of himself, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The prophet Micah also refers to Jesus as the one who would shepherd his people. Matthew quotes the prophecy, when the wise men come, asking where to find the newborn king. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
So it's really not so surprising that God would send angels to shepherds to announce the birth of his son. It may have been a surprise to the people at the time, and it may seem strange to us. Because shepherds, even in Israeli society, during the first century, were looked down upon. They were not allowed to testify in court. The religious leaders even thought of them as lawbreakers. These Jewish leaders took Sabbath keeping to an extreme. No one could do work of any kind on the Sabbath. But shepherds couldn't stop taking care of their animals, not even on the Sabbath. So, since they could not and would not follow these rules, shepherds were considered lawbreakers.
But God chose to announce the coming of his long-awaited son to these humble people. Why would he do that? There are probably lots of reasons. God cared about those who are rejected and hurting, the outcasts of society. But another reason is that God identifies with the works of shepherd. David says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd constantly keeps watch over his sheep and cares for their every need. He makes sure they have good pastures and fresh water. He protects them from wild animals. They're not afraid because the shepherd is with them. They sense his presence.
When we think about what a shepherd does, we get a glimpse of who God is. Isaiah 4:11 says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers his lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Jesus says he is our good shepherd. He's concerned about everything that matters to us. Psalm 100 says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The children have memorized this psalm too, and we are going to present it to you as a song. Let's listen as they make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Tells us there's another way we are like sheep. Sheep often don't know what's best for them. They go their own way and they get into trouble. Just like us. We choose our own paths, we turn away from the shepherd. We go our own way and we get into trouble. But our good shepherd laid down his life for us willingly because he loves us. Even though we turn away from him and stubbornly go our own way, our sins separate us from God. Our sins will lead us to an eternity in hell. But Jesus took those sins on himself and took the punishment we deserve. Isaiah 53 says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid him the iniquity of us all. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Thank you.
Isaiah 53 paints this picture of Jesus, who willingly gave his life by dying on a cross. God laid the iniquity, the sin, of us all on him. Jesus made intercession for us, the transgressors. In other words, he took the punishment that we deserved so that we could spend eternity with him in heaven, so that we could know his love on earth, the love of a good shepherd looking after his sheep. God offers a heaven and abundant life as a free gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This Lamb who laid down his life is the centerpiece of history, the cornerstone of the Bible, and the central figure in heaven. Not only did the angels announce the birth of God's Son to shepherds keeping watch over their sheep, angels in heaven worship the risen Lamb of God. The book of Revelation says that in heaven, 10,000 times 10,000 angels encircle the throne of God where the Lamb of God stands. They sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, glory and honor and blessing." And then later, John tells us, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The God who announced the coming of his Son to shepherds wants to be your good and perfect shepherd. He wants you to dwell with him now and forever. This is a free gift, paid in full by the Lamb who laid down his life. It's the greatest Christmas gift you can ever receive. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that this Christmas season, the world would not forget that it all spawns from your love that came down with Jesus. Please help everyone to remember that it's not only Jesus' birth that's important, but what he came to do. That many would come to a knowledge of that grace that you've given and the mercy you've bestowed. Please help many to come to this knowledge and to celebrate Christmas with a new insight of what it all means. In your name, amen.
Well, thank you. I hope you've enjoyed this. We have, I'll just say a few words, and then we have one more hymn. And then we're going to go next door to a time of fellowship with lots of goodies that everybody has brought in. As Nancy prepared this message in different hymns and different readings, came a little bit different Christmas story this year, right? Not necessarily Jesus as a baby in the manger, but Jesus, the ruler who was going to shepherd God's people. And so I thought about that, and it's kind of, as we look at it, there's really two parts to this, right? And so I don't know about you, but Christmas has been part of my life forever. I mean, I remember growing up like this, different church, different situation, but still, Christmas had something special about it. I didn't understand it all. I don't understand it all today, right? There's so much more than we can understand, but yet there are lots of things that we do understand, and it's very familiar to us. So for those of us that are believers, Christmas is truly a time of remembrance, right? And it's a good thing to remember. For those of us that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something there in Christmas that we're not quite sure about, and yet it is an invitation, right? So for those of us that know the Lord, it is a remembrance, and for those that don't, it is an invitation. And so Matthew tells us that God was going to send a shepherd who was going to be a ruler for his people. And as I thought about it, I thought, brought me back to a time when I was in Israel. I did most of my work up north, and one day as I was driving to work, very, very busy intersection. Picture a convergence of six lanes of highway and four lanes of another road and traffic light right in the middle of all this. So it's kind of the end of these two highways, if you will, and then you get into this little village. So as I was there, I was sitting at this light, and this is one of these lights that you hope you don't get because it's going to be a five-minute wait, right, because you have to wait for four or five things to happen. I look over in the grass, and the grass is moving. The grass is tall. It's all brown and burnt, but it's moving. And I look a little bit closer, and there has to be 50 sheep in this area, and there's no fence near the highway. So I'm looking and I'm saying to myself, there has to be a shepherd here. Where is the shepherd? Because these sheep would kill themselves on this road if there were no shepherd. And so I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking, and sure enough, sitting a little bit behind me, up elevated, looking out over this flock in what would be considered a very dangerous area, is a shepherd. And one of the sheep started to venture away a little bit, and the shepherd just called him back, and the sheep came around. And I thought, that is such a neat thing. Thank you for giving me this light red today, Lord, right? Because now I can see this. And I thought, that sheep heard his shepherd's voice, and he stopped in his tracks, and he turned around. How come we don't do that, right? And so, who is your shepherd this morning? As we think about this, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the ruler who is going to shepherd his people Israel, that's who you want as your shepherd. If he's not your shepherd, then you're following somebody else. You don't hear his voice. But we have from the Bible words that say, those who draw near to God, he will draw near to you. So draw near to God. I mean, that's what this is all about. Right, the last couple verses in the Bible, chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 17 says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.'" So the last thing that God is telling us is to come to Him, right? And He's provided a way. So this whole thing, this whole message today about Jesus, the babe born in a manger, the message told to shepherds, people that were unreliable, have a heart for God. And the other thing that I thought was so neat about this was that what did the shepherds do? It says that they made widely known the sayings which were told them concerning this child. So that's what we do, right? In every area of our life, we make widely known what we've heard about this child. So this Christmas, I hope that you have this joy in your heart, because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be your shepherd. So let's pray, and then we can have refreshments and fellowship, a good time to being together. And again, we just really want to thank all the children. And I don't know if you saw it, but the video that we saw was a prediction of what Nancy said. right? That little one was up here and he was just totally not engaged. So it's just really neat, though, to see that, you know, all the work that we do goes into their hearts. May not come out when you expect it, but it's in their hearts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for this food that we're about to receive. We thank you, Lord, for the joy you put in our hearts. And as we sing this last song, Lord, we just pray that you would lift up our spirits as we go through this week. Thank you for being able to be here with each other. It is a good time to be able to be together. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.